Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff. Grown Up
Stuff. MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Lily, and you are hearing me from my far inferior home recording setup. The reason for that is because Fernando Alonso conveniently decided to announce 24 hours before this episode was slated to drop that he is moving to the Aston Martin Formula One team at the start of the 2023 season. Luckily for us and for you, a lot of the information in this episode is still super relevant. It is also very fun, if I do say so myself. So we'll talk more about Fernando's move when we discuss Aston Martin in a few weeks. So stay tuned. Yochai, roll the tape.
We're good to go? Okay. So, Michael.
Yes.
Congratulations. Lily. We have reached the midfield.
Yes. Yay!
We have gone from best of the rest status to true, like, mid territory.
Mid.
And I mean that in the way, like, Gen Z TikTokers say it, like, mid. Like, we are definitely, like, right there, average in the middle. And to celebrate that we're talking about a French team.
Yes.
I own no Alpine merch to speak of.
Okay.
I brought you a croissant.
Yes.
Yes.
Woohoo. I'll eat it. I'll close to the microphone
yes,
as I
very,
can.
It's probably a little hard at this point. There we go.
From this wonderful bakery. Thank you,
yes.
Lily. That's very kind of you. Here goes. Mmm. 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 They do know how to bake shit, the French.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think this bakery is just an American-owned bakery that tries to sound fancy.
Don't tell our listeners. From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is...
Choosing Sides. F1.
So, we're in the midfield. The team we're talking about today has been around the block for a while. They are very chaotic. They've been on the grid. They've been off the grid. They sold the team. They rebought the team. They are also involved with a massive F1 scandal. Today's team is...
It's not Alpine.
No.
Alpine.
No.
Alpine.
No.
Alpine.
Alpine.
That's the right way to say Alpine.
And it looks like it's spelled like Alpine, but
yeah.
No, we are the French.
Yeah.
Alpine.
We're going to make it complicated.
Exactly. And then we're going to be really obnoxious
yeah.
when anyone mispronounces it. So, Alpine. I will say off the bat, Alpine is a pain in the ass to me personally because it took forever to research all of the name changing and the team buying and all of this stuff. So they get points out of off of my personal book just for that, in the amount of research this took. But I will let the record show I'm not saying it should affect your ranking.
Well, but it does. They make it easy to say Ferrari or Mercedes. These are these brands that are so iconic. So it, you are making a point that as a new fan coming into the sport, maybe all the new fans are going to find these teams that are already big with a lot of money because it's just easier to be fans.
Exactly. And also, I mean, you have to explain, oh, Alpine, formerly Renault, as of, you know, until 2021. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and it requires, we're reaching, like, intermediate level knowledge here. You need to have a little bit of context.
Sure.
Okay. So, Renault entered Formula One all the way back in 1977 as a constructor, right? So, they, they were, in fact, a team on the grid. They also then began supplying their engines to other teams in 1983. So there's about a 7-year period there. But then Renault leaves F1 2 years later in 1985. To make this confusing, they still supply engines to other teams for another year. I'm already irked.
Right.
3 years after this, they start supplying engines yet again. Then they say, we're going to buy a team again. Isn't that great? So they buy this iconic team called Benetton. 2002, in case you're keeping track of all the dates. They rebrand it as Renault. 2005 and 2006, Renault wins both the Drivers' Championship and the Constructors' Championship.
Wow.
Both times, it's with a driver named Fernando Alonso.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Our old foe from
our
the McLaren episode.
Beast.
Our petty-ass bitch from McLaren.
Yeah.
We'll get to Fernando and kind of what his whole energy is in a second.
Okay.
You'd think that's the end of it, that they're in forever.
Mm-hmm.
They are not. They sell their shares in the company in 2011, but continue to supply engines to other teams, including Red Bull, who uses Renault engines to win their four championships. Then the Renault team becomes a very unsuccessful team called Lotus for a couple years.
Lotus.
It was like a whole disaster. So then finally, in 2016, Renault buys shares in the team again.
Jesus.
They rebrand it to Renault again.
Again.
Back to Renault. And then, as if this wasn't already enough of a journey,
they rebrand it as Alpine, which is borderline dead and produces only one car.
This is Josh Revel, an F1 YouTuber.
And all of a sudden, their brand is plastered all over the Renault motorsport program. It's like, okay, they've either got plans that we don't know about, or this is just inherently French, or it's a mixture of both.
I've already lost. I mean, I'm my head's in circles.
We're not going to do this again. You don't have to. It's not going to be in a pop quiz. But all you need to know, they were Renault up until the beginning of 2021. They are now Alpine. Those are the two main things you have to know.
I know it.
Renault to Alpine.
Okay.
Ugh. Okay. So why, obviously, you're wondering probably why rebrand?
Is it money?
No, actually. The company claims that they want to use this spot on the grid, right? Because F1, at the end of the day, seen by a billion people a year, they want to market the lesser-known Alpine brand within Renault, the company.
I mean, I don't even know if I've ever seen a Renault car. I would have known that Renault was a car brand, but it's not good when you got to spend 2 minutes describing what the shit something is.
Definitely think it's a more European-oriented brand. Yeah. As usual, I don't think the French care about Americans or think too highly of
us. That's
true. So.
And that's fair. They can do what they want.
Exactly.
And we can do what we want. USA, motherfucker!
I was going to say, you know, it seems to be working out for them, but I don't know if it is, considering how many times they're in and out of this sport and doing whatever they're doing. So speaking of mess, so as I have teased for quite some time, they are involved in another massive scandal.
Another gate?
We've got another gate. And this came later than the first gate, spy gate. So you know it's serious when they have to then tack on the gate
again
a year later.
Yeah.
So we are talking today about Crashgate.
Crashgate.
Yes.
Imagine if there was ever a controversy with a gate.
Like a literal gate.
It would be called Gate-gate.
Okay, Crashgate. So the year is 2008. We are in the midst of a giant global recession.
Thanks to American junk home bonds.
Exactly. Yep. It's the year that the first Twilight movie came out.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes, exactly. Were you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I don't know who those people are.
Okay, that's great. That's totally fine. I was Team Bella Needs a Personality. But anyway, this is 2008, in September of 2008, the Singapore Grand Prix is taking place.
Okay.
And the big deal about this particular Grand Prix in that particular year is it's the first night race in Formula One history. Yes, there's a lot of build up to this race to begin with. So at the time, Renault has two drivers, Fernando Alonso and Nelson Piquet Jr.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Nelson Piquet Jr. is not a very good F1 driver, but he is in F1, driving Renault with this, you know, two-time world champion, Fernando Alonso. He's out for blood. He really wants the W.
Okay.
I'll start with what happens, then we'll go backwards into detail.
Great.
So basically, Nelson Piquet Jr. crashes during the race, and because he crashes, his teammate Fernando Alonso inadvertently ends up having an advantage and ends up winning the race. That's like the long and short of it. At the time, Nelson Piquet Jr. said, oh, yeah, I crashed. It was a simple mistake. It happens. Some people were really skeptical and very much were raising eyebrows. But a lot of people were also like, you know what? Racing incidents happen. Sometimes you just get a little bit of luck in the sport. That's part of F1, right, is the unpredictability, the fact that anything can happen. And the idea that a driver would do something like crash a car to advantage the team just sounded absurd, right? That's millions of dollars. That's a driver's life on the line.
Right.
You just can't fathom something like that happening. So we skip ahead 10 months to July of 2009. Renault announces that they are dropping Nelson Piquet Jr. from the team for low, not good performance, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's upset. And understandably, he does not really have any loyalty to this team at this point because they have dropped him.
Yep.
Yeah. And they've been pretty not great about him in the media. Like, he wasn't good. You know, he's a little humiliated. And again, comes from a big racing family. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a sad, depressing state. So he decides it is time to let her rip and open his mouth.
Now, Senior Piquet was recently sacked by Renault, and he's now claimed that he was asked to deliberately crash at the Singapore Grand Prix last year, which, of course, helped Fernando to eventually win the race.
Here we go.
So here's a more technical look at what happens during the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso, you know, Renault teammate, who's kind of the golden boy, the star of that team, he actually had been doing well in practice sessions earlier. There was a lot of excitement. Qualifying happens. And for a variety of reasons, Fernando ends up qualifying in P15.
Oof.
So he is nowhere near the top.
Right.
Things didn't go according to plan. The car broke down and he's somewhat down the grid. Never seen him so devastated.
It's almost impossible to win from there. You're just fighting to get like a point or two, right? Typically when you're in something like P15. And Nelson Piquet Jr. is next to him at P16.
Wow, Renault.
Yeah, Renault. It's really not not doing well. So according to Nelson Piquet Jr., this is where everything gets very sketchy.
Mm.
So if you're starting in the back, you got less to lose, right? You're not in the points. You might take a riskier or a more unconventional strategy to try and elevate yourself in the standings. For instance, having a lighter fuel load and pitting earlier, you know, changing tires up sooner, you know, any number of strategies.
Right.
What they come up with is that Fernando pits incredibly early at lap 12. So he's the first driver to go in and pit. And the hope is, hey, you know, everyone's thinking, oh, he's going to get, you know, newer, fresher tires. And maybe the idea is he's going to go on and be able to kind of catapult himself, you know, ahead of teams and drivers and cars that are maybe slower. And on top of that, are on older tires.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It makes sense. He gets back on and very quickly within three laps. So lap 14 of this race, Nelson Piquet Jr. crashes at turn 17.
Oh, big crash! That's Nelson Piquet.
You can see the cogs turning with this one.
Yeah.
And on top of that,
that is likely, I would have thought, to bring out a safety car, is it? It's off the line.
The safety car comes out to slow the drivers down. It's a physical car that is driving. They have to hold back. They're not allowed to pass. And on top of that,
it's a difficult place to recover a car from.
There is not a crane nearby this turn to quickly pull the car out. So they have to get a crane over there. They obviously have to collect debris, all these little pieces of carbon fiber, and these parts are all over the track. So these cars are obviously slowly going around and around. And as we talked about, what starts to happen with safety cars is because obviously everyone's driving at the same speed, the cars begin to bunch up. So if you were leading by, you know, 10 seconds, you now have to slow down. You can't pass anyone, but no one can pass you. And then on top of that, the regulations at the time stated that the pit lane was closed if a safety car was out until all of the cars were bunched up.
I see.
So everyone finally gets bunched up before anyone can pit. And obviously, Fernando Alonso now has already pitted. He's on the freshest tires. And so based on that, basically, Fernando ends up towards the front, and because of the pit strategy and other people having to pit at different times and the chaos around any safety car, you know, it throws everyone's strategies for a loop.
Anybody who is due a pit stop is going to be really sweating. They're going to have to come in and take a penalty.
Fernando ends up winning
from
P15 in this race. And obviously, now that we know that there's all these little weird coincidences that seem to go on, yeah, you're kind of nodding your head.
I'm shaking my head back and forth because I'm not so sure this was such a giant advantage, but okay, I'm still listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, though, what happened, so Nelson Piquet Jr. is Brazilian. So Brazilian media starts reporting shortly after Nelson Piquet Jr. is kind of saying, hey, something actually happened here. You know, he's going to the FIA and kind of talking to them and making some noise. Yeah, it breaks publicly within the month that he is alleging that the two heads of Renault told him to crash to give Fernando Alonso this advantage to help his race.
Right. On lap 14.
On lap 14.
Right.
After Fernando had already pitted, which, you know, they could easily tell Nelson Piquet Jr., hey, your teammate pitted, you know, that sort of thing. So shortly thereafter, we're still in the same like 2 month period after Nelson Piquet Jr. comes forward with the allegations. So
which is like 8 months after the incident.
Exactly. Yeah. We're almost a year after the incident. So now we're actually a year late, September 2009 at this point. The FIA, so the governing body, body, charges Renault with interfering in the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix and conspiring with Piquet to deliberately crash his car and put Alonso at an advantage under the safety car rules.
Right.
The two guys who were heading up Renault at the time, this is the most like, you know, villain in a Godfather movie name, Flavio Briatore.
Yeah.
he's the executive director of the team. And then you have executive director of engineering, Pat Simmons, less climactic. So you've got Flavio and Pat are said to have told Nelson to do this, according to Nelson Piquet.
Right.
And of course, meanwhile, Fernando claims he had no idea that any of this was going on. Mm-hmm. He cannot fathom the team ever doing something like that to him. Gasp. So this is all going on. There's like the Renault team starts threatening legal action against Nelson Piquet Jr.
Renault and myself, we put a criminal plans to the two Piquet in the High Court of Paris for blackmail.
Again, everything's still building. And then they finally have this hearing. At this hearing, an anonymous and mysterious Renault employee, who's known as Witness X, we still don't know who they are, comes forward and says they were at the alleged pre-race meeting where this plan was concocted.
Wow, okay.
Shortly after, like, this hearing and this witness and whatever, Renault says they're not going to contest the charges from the FIA. And Briatore and Simmons, they leave the team very quickly. So Renault claims, look, we're already cleaning house. We're already trying to do the right thing. And basically, what they get handed down is not a $100 million fine or anything close to it.
Yeah. F1's governing body, FIA, gave Renault only a 2-year suspended ban, which means between now and 2011, if Renault misbehaves again, it will be taken out of the race entirely.
They can race for those 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're like, don't do anything
sketchy
again during this, that time.
It's like a warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A minor slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they ban Flavio indefinitely. Mm. And Pat, our darling Pat, was banned for 5 years from FIA sanctioned events.
Why the difference in penalties?
Yes. So Pat, at a certain point when all of this shit was going on, he eventually confesses to knowing the plan and they did it and, you know, whatever. He saves his own ass. So they say, well, Pat at least came forward again with this whole like honesty thing.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah,
he was honest with us eventually, kind of. And to this day, Flavio Briatore does not, you know, he's still proclaiming his innocence at the time.
Mm.
And to this day, that initial de facto lifetime ban for Briatore is considered the harshest in all of motorsports history. And eventually they reduce the bans and all of this stuff. So eventually they're just, it's kind of said, hey, you guys can't work for a, you know, an FIA sponsored event or at an event till like 2011. It's like really significantly reduced. So basically, to summarize this whole thing, the leaders of the team asked their not as good driver to crash and sacrifice his race to help the other one win.
Yeah, which puts that driver risk, right?
Yeah, on top of that, he could have died, right?
I mean, you can't just like, you got to make it look like a real crash.
Yeah, he can't just kind of go two miles an hour and kind of barely touch the wall. He, if you look at photos, he straight up crashed side barrier. It looks bad.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just really dangerous.
Yeah.
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 I don't think it means anything. I think we now go on, we have problems from time to time. As long as we solve them and deal with them properly, that's fine.
And I will say there was very differing opinions. So you had a former F1 world champion and team owner named Jackie Stewart said that there's something fundamentally rotten and wrong at the heart of Formula One. Mm-hmm. You know, the sport has never been in such a mood of self-destruction. Mm-hmm. Millions of fans are amazed, if not disgusted, at a sport that goes from crisis to crisis with everyone blaming everyone else.
And keep in mind, this was also only, 1 to 2 years after this whole Spygate thing, right? Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, you had another former driver named Eddie Irvine, who basically said the whole situation was overblown. He's like,
it's probably slightly on the wrong side of the cheating thing, but in past days, every team has done whatever they could to win. Cheat, bend the rules, break the rules, sabotage opponents. This is just the FAA going on a crusade.
And the truth is somewhere in between both of those.
So, just to quickly summarize where Alpine's at now, they've been generally midfield for a while, some years better than others. They finished P5, so smack dab in the middle of the championship in 2021. And generally, there are some weeks where their cars seem like they're going to be great, and then they kind of fail.
I have a problem, guys. I can't take it to the corners.
They're a little bit all over the map. However, the drivers give us a lot more insight as to what's going on in the team than me just explaining this very convoluted team. So we'll get into them right after an ad break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season 2 of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we are back, and we are talking about Alpine's two drivers.
Yeah, I want to know who these two drivers are because you've called them mid a lot of times. And as a driver, you don't want to be described as mid, much like Lando didn't like me describing him as slow and steady. But who are these Alpine drivers?
Well, we got to talk about the man of the hour for the first driver. We got Fernando Alonso. He is back.
This is the guy who snitched on his own team.
Stitched on his own team. Different team, I will say.
Right, right.
And then claimed to have no knowledge of the other major scandal he was involved in. Yeah, at Renault. To keep in mind, too, he did win his two world titles with Renault back in the mid-2000s. He is 40, turning 41 in 2022.
I like that.
His start in F1 was all the way back in 2001.
Sorry. So, whenever you talk about Fernando, I want to rub my pants.
So Fernando's been around for a while. He has taken breaks from the sport. So he left, for instance, he went back to McLaren in the late 2010s before Lando came in. And he was having such a miserable time that he left and tried to do some other endurance racing and IndyCar at one point. Wow. He's tried other stuff in between his many stints in Formula One.
Is he the oldest driver on the grid?
He is currently the oldest driver by, at least 3-4 years. So,
Picture him listening to like AM radio while he drives. You know, because he's old and he puts his hands up on the thing and goes real slow, puts his golf clubs in the trunk. Okay, stop.
If anyone's the most contentious driver on the grid, he's definitely in the running for it because he's been around for forever. He's got people who love him, who are diehard Fernando Alonso fans. He has got people who despise him.
Yep. They're retire, like, bitch.
Exactly. Like, why are you still here?
Right.
All of that stuff. It's impressive the longevity his career
has
had. Yeah.
For sure.
So, okay, I have some photos of Fernando.
All right. Fernando Alonso. So, this guy looks a little shady.
He also looks very intense.
Yeah.
Because that bottom right photo of him, like, yelling is from when he won one of his world championships.
Yeah.
So,
it's
like, you can just see the
fire.
Emotion. Yeah, yeah. In that pose. It's just, like, arms up, like, lion roar, basically.
Yeah. Is this a win-at-all-costs guy?
He is a win-at-all-costs guy.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I feel like we're kind of like, ugh, Fernando. It's the vibe
of here. It's possible. Why is he still around? I mean, is there something I'm missing here?
First of all, you know, the one reason or one of the big reasons a lot of teams keep older drivers around is they come with a lot of experience.
Yeah.
They know how to talk about cars. They know how to really explain how they're feeling in a car, what's not working.
I don't think the Prime is a good tire.
Okay, understood. We'll have a good look at the data.
And also, obviously, has built up the, you know, the intuition.
Yeah.
You know, he knows, he's seen every scenario at this point. He knows what to do.
Okay, Fernando, this place is good. We're looking at plan A plus five.
You are not giving me useful information.
Fernando's a great all-around driver. He's obviously very, very aggressive,
yep.
But what he is known for, he's probably the best defender on the grid.
Oh, interesting.
Drivers live in fear of having to be told by their teams to pass Fernando Alonso.
Okay.
Iconically, in 2021, there was a race, the Hungarian Grand Prix, and there was a massive rainstorm.
Mm.
And in literally the start, so we don't even get through the first turn of the race, the cars end up taking each other out like bowling pins.
Five cars, six cars, and more contact there between the Ferrari and the second McLaren.
It's literally whoever ends up bypassing the situation kind of ends up in the front. So you got a wacky, wacky, wacky series of drivers. So you have actually Fernando Alonso's teammate, who we'll talk about in a second,
okay.
Esteban Ocon, ends up in the first place position. Esteban's in the lead. Fernando's a little bit back behind him. He's in like P3. But coming up behind Fernando is Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
And the Mercedes is just booking it. So they're like, Fernando, we need you to hold off Lewis Hamilton, who's in a far superior car, for as long as you possibly can, so that Esteban can win this damn race.
Alonso somehow is keeping Hamilton at bay. This is incredible.
You can just see and hear and feel the frustration for Lewis Hamilton,
right.
You know, former teammate.
Yeah.
These two people do not like each other.
Right. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
Lewis Hamilton on the radio is just exasperated.
Guys, you see, you just moved over on me, man. Come on, man.
Like, that had to be illegal. They're like, no, Fernando is just out defending, like, your offense.
What a brilliant defensive drive this he's doing today, isn't it? Amazing.
So you can block.
Yeah, there are rules around making sure you aren't, like, doing a la Michael Schumacher, like, just smashing into someone.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, like Fernando's doing everything by the book. He's just that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, every turn, you just see Lewis goes, but then Fernando will, like, block him just enough legally to keep him from passing.
And it almost ended up in contact and disaster for both.
And essentially, Fernando Alonso, in a not as fast whatsoever Alpine, holds off Lewis's Mercedes for 10 laps, which enables Esteban to win this race.
Yeah!
Ah! So something to keep in mind, too, is that defending actually can harm your own race. Sure. So, for instance, if you just let someone like Lewis through, you save your tires. They're not going to get worn down as quickly. Saving fuel. You know, you're just being in more of a conservation effort, which is why you do see often if, you know, a car sees a much faster car coming up on them, they'll just let them pass. I mean, they won't completely lie down and play dead, but they're like, what's the point of me fighting this faster car? So it really was, I don't want to say selfless, but it was very helpful of Alonso to say, you know what? I'm going to fight this guy. I'm going to really go after this defense. I want to fuck with Lewis. You know, I want to help my teammate. Whatever was going through his mind, it shouldn't be understated that it was, in fact, you know, to the detriment somewhat to Fernando's race.
He was sacrificing his race either for the betterment of his team or to fuck with his old teammate.
Or both.
Yeah,
he's a man of multitudes.
As my therapist tells me all the time, both things could be true.
Yeah. Definitely a guy who you want on your team.
For sure.
When you need a defender or someone to kind of be on your side. Yeah. Like, he's the guy you want to just go after it.
Not bad for an old guy, Fernando.
Yeah, still doing my best.
But yeah, I will say there are people who are like ready for him to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's turning 41 this summer.
I mean, that is a remarkable feat. You know, we talked about Lando at McLaren, who's 22. This guy's 41. I mean, that is just so much experience.
Yeah. So he's obviously very good at F1. He just might not be great at some of the, you know, finer points of off-track etiquette.
Yeah. There is something to be said for someone that is still at world-class level at that age. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, the other big argument against him, I would say, is that, you know, every time you have a driver like that who's there for a long time and maybe overstaying their welcome, you keep other younger drivers and talent out.
They've got some junior drivers.
We're hearing from Josh Revel again.
Who have won everything in the junior formula ranks, who are looking at the no vacancies and thinking, okay, great. When are we getting into Formula One? Oh, we're not? Why not? Oh, because we signed a mercurial French driver and an aging Spaniard, and we think, yep, that's all we need for our driver lineup.
In Formula 2, so as you know, the junior category right below Formula 1, the driver who won that Oscar Piastri, he is just like a baby face cherub. He is like adorable. You know, he's like 19, 20. There's a lot of hype around Oscar. Oscar's in Alpine's young driver's development program, and they basically have nowhere to promote him because they're keeping someone like Fernando, who's much older and definitely at the end of his career.
We don't need no junior formula maestro. We'll be fine with what we've got right now, which is why we're exactly bang average in Formula One.
So besides Fernando, who's in the other car? You mentioned Esteban.
That is, in fact, Esteban Ocon, the other guy. I feel like we've talked about Fernando in several episodes, and now it's like, oh, yeah, and Esteban's there. Yeah. So Esteban is more of an enigma on the grid than the average driver. He's interesting in that it's very well known that he does not come from money. And the big story that's told about him is that his dad's actually a mechanic. And when he was growing up, they saw that he had an affinity for karting. So they actually sold their family home, lived out of an RV so they could drive around to karting competitions with him. And his dad did all the work on Esteban's kart.
Wow.
Yeah. To save money, and because he obviously knew what to do. So it really was this family affair. They're very close and very tight knit. So I guess if you have like slight eat the rich vibe in a sport that everyone's rich, he could potentially be one of your guys.
Right.
But yeah, so Esteban definitely is known for being a little bit scrappier, being a little bit elbows out than the average driver because he wants it so badly. And obviously a lot of sacrifices were made to get him to this point. You know, it doesn't get, I think, much grittier than, like, we literally sold our home to fund your career.
Dad's the mechanic. Yeah.
Dad's the mechanic.
Yeah.
He definitely has had a much more chaotic career in terms of, very talented, has won things in the junior categories and whatnot, but definitely bounced around in the sense that he's never really been a team's number one driver. Mm-hmm. Even at Alpine, it's kind of a weird dynamic with Fernando, right? Because Esteban is seen as like the future of the team, and also Alpine, a French company, loves having a French driver in Esteban. That's a huge boon for any team. But Fernando Alonso is Fernando Alonso. So even if you are kind of considered the future and the big talent going forward, it's hard to you know, not feel overshadowed by such an icon and legend of the sport. He is Fernando Alonso for a reason.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing to note is Esteban is managed by Toto Wolff at Mercedes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, as we know, it's a very fun ethical minefield over in F1. So I have to be like, okay, maybe there is more to Esteban than what we're seeing.
We got to do a quick break, and then we'll be back.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Here's a clip from an upcoming episode featuring the weekly home checks, Keyshawn Lane, that you won't want to miss.
A common mistake that a lot of people do, they use fabric softener when it's not so great for your clothes.
Should we never be using fabric softener?
No, you should not ever be using fabric softener.
Wow.
It leaves a deposit on our clothes, which is also left in the machine. And it also makes the clothes highly flammable.
Wait, what?
Yes. What you want to do instead is just use a quarter cup of vinegar.
And that'll make them softer?
That'll make them softer. And if you wanted some kind of scent, you can use essential oils.
Wow, wow, wow. Catch new episodes of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult every other Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up
Stuff. My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I guess when it comes to Alpine, in terms of pitching the team... I mean, it's kind of a weird one.
What is their grand plans? I'm not entirely sure because they say, you know, we're looking to win in Formula One.
Josh Revell again.
Okay, win in Formula One with your current package. Good luck. You've got about 9 other teams that have the exact same freaking goal. What stands them out amongst the others? Kind of hopes and dreams and arguably... living in 2006. They are a bit of an enigma, for sure.
As of the middle of the 2022 season, things have been a little rocky at times for Alpine, but they are still in the hunt for best of the rest status. They are very comfortably at the top of the midfield.
Right.
And both their drivers, Fernando and Esteban, have had relatively good seasons. Fernando, unfortunately, has had some bad luck with, you know, an engine not starting here or there.
Yeah.
Esteban has quietly done pretty darn well, all things considered.
Yeah.
So, again, I feel bad saying it, but Alpine's doing very mid, but I actually kind of mean that in a good way. They're under the radar. They're a little bit quiet.
Yep.
But we could see some really interesting stuff in the back half of 2022 if they keep at it and other teams kind of fall off.
Mm.
I wish I had a more, like, exciting pitch for you for Alpine. But there are some people who really love Alpine.
I like their colors.
Mm-hmm.
I like their name. It sounds like peak, you know, top of the mountain. And I like that this guy's 41 years old. Fuck the young guys. They'll get their shot, but he's holding on. He's a grizzly old veteran grinding it out. And I certainly like that he played such good defense against Lewis Hamilton. That's a fun story.
Yeah.
But no, they're not jumping off the page for me. French hurts. It hurts being French, but that's not even their fault. It's hard to really devote your energy to it, thinking in 2 years they're going to be making engines and 3 years quit and then 2 5-year come back. And yeah.
I would love another Crashgate. I would love another scandal involving Alpine. They need something to put them back on the map.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since Crashgate. It's been a decade and a half.
Yeah.
We need something new. And then when we come to the drivers here, yeah, Fernando, I mean, and Yohai actually said this, but I think it's true, is that Fernando, despite being in the sport for 2 decades, mm-hmm. basically, he still drives like a rookie who's got something to prove, right? Like, he drives lights out, like every race could be his last. I mean, at this point, he is getting older, so the end is going to come sooner rather than later for him.
That's a tremendous quality in a competitor,
yeah,
because he's got money, so he doesn't necessarily need to do this, but he obviously, every race, he's going to try to win. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, great defender. Just a fun guy to watch.
Yeah.
So if you're someone who likes, you know, I want to follow great racers, right? Like,
yeah.
Fernando will, you know, he doesn't have the chance always, but if he gets it, he will put on a show.
Yeah.
Like, you will not be disappointed watching him fly around and hold people back and generally go lights out the entire time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I will say Esteban is great in the sense that I think there's just a lot there that we haven't quite seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
He is in his mid-20s, and I think that these next couple years could be really defining for him. So if you are someone who likes a little bit of an enigma, who definitely also has a lot of fight in them, right? Like, he comes from a background where his family and him had to really work for it. He knew the pressure he was under to perform so that it wasn't all for naught for his parents and his family. You know, he is a guy who can, like I said, put some elbows out, which isn't always everyone's favorite. But there is a fire there, and it's just a matter of when it comes out and when it really dominates.
And his dad working on the cart when he was a kid, that's cool, and it's a good story. And I know he mentioned it in that one video I watched, but he was like, I used to sleep by the track in the van. Now I'm in this, like, really nice trailer. And he was, like, really appreciative of that. And that was cool to hear him say that.
Yeah. He's got perspective.
Yeah.
He was racing against kids who would roll up with these multi-million-dollar cars. And what, and he, you know, he's just out there with his mom and dad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I will say he's someone who often is seen as either an underrated driver or at the very least overlooked. He's kind of forgotten about. He's in this midfield team. He's had a couple of moments of real brilliance in F1.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for being a little bit more low-key. And on top of that, Toto Wolff is managing him. So if Toto and the Mercedes juggernaut see something in you, that can't be forgotten or sort of written off.
And some people are late bloomers.
Yeah.
In every sport we see this. Even as teams we see this. As coaches we see this. Some people take some time to get the confidence, and maybe that's what's happening.
Oh, definitely. So I definitely have never counted Esteban out.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with him?
Yeah.
So, Michael, we are officially halfway through the F1 grid. Who are you feeling the most right now?
I'm embarrassed that I put so much emphasis on colors and brand names. But I really love learning about the component of what's made each driver. You know, there's a controversy, the dad working on the car, the dad that pushed him to be the best. A lot of dad.
Like I said, daddy issues.
Yeah, dad issues. It's hard for me to connect with Alpine. Mercedes, I feel the same way. Red Bull, that guy Christian pisses me off. McLaren, I can see what people are talking about with McLaren. But I'm still coming back to this Ferrari on the poster of my bedroom And I like the vibe a little bit of them, and I could be off, but that's still where I'm at. And who else did I miss?
You got them all.
I got them all. Yeah.
So I'm not going to make you rank all the drivers, but which like 2 to 3 drivers thus far are you excited about?
I'm liking what, just listening to you talk about, I'm liking how always in contention Alpha Great White Shark Lewis Hamilton seems to just always be. I mean, it seems like every race we talk about, you're like, and then Lewis was about to win. You know what I mean? I like that. That's just like pure dominance. It's unbelievable. How do you achieve that? But you know, from asking me this question, I always like these underdog guys. I always like the people that are assumed to be number two. I hate the number two thing. These are all world-class drivers, but
yeah.
It's like kids. You really do, as a parent, need to love one of them more. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, kind of.
I still like George Russell. I know that's what you're really getting at.
No, we like George.
Yeah, and I like Charles.
Charles.
I like him. I like him. Lando, Daniel, Esteban, Fernando. I can leave him in the paddock, so to speak.
It pains me slightly because I, as we know, I like Lando.
Yeah.
I have an interesting soft spot for an Esteban character, but I see where your mind and head are going.
I think what maybe you're finding with me is I'm in on the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I love the competition of it. I'm loving this whole new world I didn't know about, but it's going to take me some time to really figure out whom I'm in love with.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, as you know, we're only halfway through, so we've got a lot of teams to discuss, a lot of drivers, a lot more chaos.
Good.
We got some real dark horses and wild cards in the mix, especially as we get further down the grid. You got to be a little bit scrappy to be on some teams that are perpetually towards the bottom of the midfield or even at the bottom of the standings there. So there's lots more to see and to hear about.
I'm going to like the people that are the grittiest down there. Yeah.
So next week, we finally get to talk about the Red Bull sister team, AlphaTauri.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you're wondering, what the heck does a sister team, junior team, whatever even do?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
So that'll be next week.
Great.
Are we all good, Yochai?
Yeah, I think it is a wrap.
Wrap it.
Cool.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Sella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brennan Getchus is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. And if you want more F1 goodness, follow us on Instagram at ChoosingSidesF1.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.